Good morning, saints. It's Epiphany. It's time to wake up. It's always that. I hit the snooze button this morning, but I only hit it once. And then, no more snoozing, huh? We're going to be gathered around a passage today about Jesus' baptism. Jesus' baptism. As I read this to you, can I invite you to think about two things? The first is your baptism. Whenever that was. And oh, friends, if you haven't been baptized, can we talk about that? You and I. Don't let a moment pass by after worship this day. Let's talk about that and what Christ has in store for you. But the other thing I'd like for you to think about is why would Jesus need baptism? Can we gather around that question as we think about this story from Luke 3? I'm beginning with the 15th verse. Now, you see the lectionary reading in the bulletin. Do you see how it says verses 15 through 17 and then 21 and 22? Are you thinking together with me? Well, what's that part they're leaving out? What's going on with that? Why aren't we reading that part? Well, guess what? We're going to read that part too. Hear now the word of the Lord. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts, oh, if John might possibly be the Messiah. And John answered them all, I baptize you. With water. But one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. And now, are you ready to hear those verses we were supposed to skip? But when John rebuked Herod the tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. And now we'll resume with our reading where we were assigned. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Can I invite you to say that with me, recite that together? A voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Oh, friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I am excited today about a special blessing. A good friend of mine who lives very far away has come to visit, and I'm going to put him to work. He's my brother in Christ, my big brother in Christ, my mentor. And Jim, I invite you now to come and pray over me so I can... say only what God wants me to say this morning. Thank you, brother.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed by your presence here this morning.
Yes, we are.
You fill us, you surround us, you inspire us. You are the foundation beneath our feet. You are the breath in our lungs, the sight in our eyes. You are everything to us. And as we come before you now to hear your word, we pray that Bo would speak only that which you would have him to speak. We pray that you would open our hearts to hear all that you would have us to hear, not just with our minds. Start there, but then may it penetrate our hearts. May it change us. May it mold us and shape us closer into that image of who we are called to be as followers, as disciples, as little representations of Jesus everywhere we walk, in everything we do. May your glory, may your light shine out our pastor, and may you bless him and lead him and anoint him right now. And we give all the praise to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Good to have you here. Good to have you here. Well, I've been to youth rally. It was wonderful. I didn't have any responsibilities. Will and Sam were taking care of everything. They needed extra adults, and I didn't count. So Rita went along, and Pat went along, and all I had to do was just kind of soak it up. It's good to have that opportunity sometimes, isn't it? Not to have the responsibility to do or to be anything special, just to sort of be with God. That's what I got to do. And I got to tell you about a youth rally. Has anybody here ever been to one of the youth rallies? They're really something, aren't they? You know, 4,000 and more kids and adults gathered in the Ocean City Convention Center, the place. I'm old now, so I have to wear hearing plugs because it's so loud. But you can still feel the pounding in your heart and in your chest. And even though I've got the earplugs, and I can still hear, in fact, I can hear a little bit better with the earplugs than without them. It's not as distorted. I can hear what the singers are singing, and they have speakers there, their movements that make you kind of get up and move. And over again, they preach the same and teach and sing the same thing over and over again. You know what it is? It's grace. Our kids can't hear enough about it, can they? But I'll tell you something, we're not a whole lot different. We can never hear enough about God's grace, can we? What we sing? God's what kind of grace? Amazing grace, right? Free, we don't earn it, right? Unmerited, you can't lose it, you can't drop it. God's amazing grace. Over and over again this weekend we heard it. But we heard something else too. There was a tinge of something else. Do you remember the story where the tax collector comes and hits Peter up for the tax, the temple tax? He says, "Does your master pay the temple tax?" And Peter says, "Yeah, sure, Peter's a good guy, right? He's a stand-up guy, but he doesn't know how it's going to happen because maybe they don't have a whole lot of money." He goes up to Jesus. He goes, "He wants the temple tax." Jesus says, "Sure, we're going to pay it. Go fish for a fish." Have you heard this story? Go drop your line for a fish. Peter pulls the fish up, and there's some coins in the fish's mouth. Jesus told him this would be. We all need to go fishing more often, don't we, huh? Pull some coins out of this mouth and paid for Peter and Jesus. It was neat. I had heard that story before, but I never heard it the way Reggie Dabbs told it to the kids. He was talking about grace, but he was also talking about what happens after. And he told that story from the perspective of the little fish. I never thought about that. I thought, man, that's really clever. But it's also disturbing, isn't it? Because the way he told the story, he said, this fish, an angel appeared to the fish and said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you," right? Just like the one told Mary, right? We talked about this before. I got good news. And I guess some of the other kind do. God's got a plan for you. And I'll tell you later, but it involves getting caught. It was almost kind of a mixed message. You know what I thought? And I've been thinking, it's like water and oil. They don't mix, do they? Water and oil. That water of grace, right? That fountain of life flowing from the heart of God without measure, right? It never ends. It never stops. God's grace for you. Right? Sprinkled, dunked, poured, however you do it, right? However it is that we symbolize that grace, right? The best symbol, I think, is rain, just falling down on us like we sang a minute ago, raining down. But there's more, right? Oh, there's so much more. And it's a troubling kind of message. I want us to think about water and oil. I want us to think about how maybe they don't mix, but there's a place where they touch. I want to think about that place where they touch. As we think about Jesus' baptism, I've been thinking about my own. June 22nd, 1964. I didn't know what I was doing. Hey, let me tell you something. Let me just ask you something. Who does? Who does know what they're doing? You know what Paul calls new Christians? Paul says they eat what? They eat formula. They're just babies, no matter how old they are. You know, we have this big debate in the church, you know, the Baptist and the Methodist. I've been in both camps, so I know how the enemy works. Dunking, right? Sprinkling, immersion, right? Whether you know what you're doing. Who knows what they're doing? And every baby Christian, every new Christian I've ever met, no matter how old they are, I think to myself two simultaneous things. The first thing I think is, oh, it's a miracle. I've tried, friends. I've tried to convince people into the kingdom. I've tried to convince people that Christ loves them no matter what, and I can't do it. And I've tried. All my life I've tried. I figure I'm just like those midwives back in Egypt, right? You remember that story? Shipra and Pua were their names. I know their names because I feel a lot like them. Always too late to the party. Pharaoh said, "Why aren't you killing these baby boys like I ordered you to?" And they go, "These Hebrew women are too strong. I mean, we get there and the birth is already over. They're too strong." That's me. I show up, right? And you know, I can't go, "Well, I'm sure glad I helped you into the kingdom of Christ." All I can do is just celebrate on the sidelines what Christ and only Christ can do. Touch someone's heart in a way that they can respond like quivering, like if I sang a note on this piano and the corresponding note would start singing back. That's grace. We call it prevenient grace. It's a fancy word that means the grace that makes a way, the grace that comes before. You don't have anything to do with it. I was a baby. I was 6 weeks old. You know what my mother said? "You never had a choice, Bo. I prayed you into the kingdom while I was carrying you," is what she said. And it's true. And I thank God so much that I didn't have a choice to go to church. I didn't have a choice to be brought to the church of my mother and the church of my grandmother. I had no choice. Listening to the sevenfold amen, it's so sweet. I can't wait till our choir sings it. It's going to take me right back. I thank God. June 22nd, 1964. I didn't know anything about it. I was wetting my britches. I was probably crying or screaming like all babies do sometimes. That water hit me. I'm like, "Whoa, what is that?" I don't remember anything about it. People have to tell me about it. But you know, in the 52 years nearly since then, it's been another kind of walk. Walking into the promise of that day and of all the days before it, of all that prevenient grace, there have been other things going on, right? As I've realized, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price I can't even begin to imagine. Can you? And a lot of times I forget it, but some days I remember. It's why I'm here. It's why I'll be here till the day I die. It's why when, you know, I remember we got a call on the phone. You know that we've been foster parents, and anytime somebody told me they were a foster parent, the first thing I would think is, "You're an idiot." No, really, you're an idiot. Why would anybody borrow that kind of trouble? It's just trouble. And what can you do? It's like putting your finger in a dike, right, that's leaking from a thousand places. Why would you do that? Just sort of protect what's your own, right? Isn't that what we say? You know, a man's home is his castle, right? Protect it from the enemy. Protect it from those bad things. Keep what's your own, right? I remember going out into the parking lot, right? I'm surrounded by grace, right? Every day I'm reminded that I don't deserve anything that Christ has done for me, and I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful for it. I'm reminded that God is pleased with me before I do anything, right? When I was a baby, I hadn't accomplished anything. And those of you who've had the privilege of bringing a baby into this world know the kind of love I'm talking about. Does that baby have to do anything to deserve your love? No. And yet, there's more. There's an anointing, isn't it? A calling. I remember being out in a parking lot. We had just gotten a call from the Division of Family Services. They said there are these two kids. They were in our church. We knew them. They were in our youth group 10 years. Their mama was having trouble keeping things together. And I had heard word that, you know, she was having some trouble with some pain medications. She was screaming at the pharmacy. They wouldn't give her the pain medications. Can you imagine the pain she must have been in and not be able to relieve it? And the police had arrested her, and I knew we were going to get that call. And when we got it, and they said, oh, would you just keep them? It's a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old. Just one night. I knew it wasn't going to be one night. My math's not too good, but 2.5 years times 365 nights is what it was. But I didn't know that then. All I knew is that I am a child of God, claimed by God's grace. I walked out into the parking lot, and I heard Him say, have you ever heard Jesus speak to you? It's not in words, maybe. You couldn't necessarily tape it. Have you heard that voice? It's not yours, Bo. Not your house. It's not your life. It's not your family. None of it is yours. It's mine. I give it freely to you. You are not debating in this parking lot whether you are going to give your house away or your family. You're debating whether you're going to give mine away. I gave it to you. Now what are you going to do? Water and oil. I'm justified. He saved me. There was a moment when I was in another church later in my life. I was 10, 11 years old. Oh, how I've wanted to tell you about this story. I knew I would say nothing. If I said nothing else, I would tell you this story. I was sitting in a pew, and the preacher, like he always did, came down. He said, if anybody wants to give their heart to Jesus, come on down here. We're not going to leave until somebody does. And then we started singing the first of 17 verses of Just As I Am, or however long it takes. And after we got to the fifth verse, you know, and nobody came down, he would do his hand like this. The organist knew what that meant. We all knew what that meant. And then he would come from around behind the altar, and he would go, I know there's somebody. Man, I felt it. Every Sunday I felt it. And then there was one Sunday, I mean, my legs were trembling. They're trembling now just thinking about it. There was one Sunday I walked that aisle. By myself, I walked it. Nobody walked it with me. My parents had made a choice. I didn't have a choice. But that day, I didn't understand the choice. But that day, I walked down the aisle. In Methodist Church, we call it confirmation, a time when I am confirming a decision that others have made on my behalf. Justifying grace. Justified. Freed. You confirm it. Every time you recognize yourself as a daughter or son of God, you confirm it. Every time you say, not me, but you. Not mine, but yours. I repent. What does that word mean? I turn. I surrender. It means all of those things. Not my way, but yours. And then, it's that 52-year part, or however long it is, I have left on this earth. And you too. Of finding out why God planted us here in the first place. Not my plan, but God's. Water and oil. I have all kinds of plans and dreams. They talked about the plans and dreams that the kids might have and said, you know, God will give you the plans and dreams, the desires of your heart and everything. And that's not all there is there? Because anybody can say that. Any motivational speaker can say that. The plans and dreams that we live when we are sanctified, when we are made holy by God's grace, are not our plans and dreams. They're God's. Do you remember when Jesus would tell people, he'd say, what you're seeing me do, I don't do what I want to do. What do I do? What did he say? Do you remember? Whatever the Father is doing, that's what I'm doing. You see me, I'm a copy of the original. I'm made in God's image. And when you see me, you see the image of God. Walking, living, breathing, and that's our calling. It's a high calling. And so it's a good thing. We are covered. We are anointed. We are blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now let's think about that question of why Jesus gets baptized. It was troubling to the church. Why would he need to be baptized, right? Because a lot of times when we talk about baptism, it's not just an initiation. You know, the first thing we ask people when they come to receive the water from the fountain of life, to be cleansed, right? Cleansed from what? Sin. By the way, that's something that never stops, does it? But why would Jesus have needed to do it, right? The church struggled over this. And the church began to talk about, well, there was John's baptism, and that's one kind of baptism, and then there's the baptism of Jesus, right? If you're familiar with Acts, they talk about that. They get a crowd of people, and they come in and they say, well, we were baptized by John, or you know, baptized with John's baptism or whatever, and they said, well, you haven't heard about the what? The Holy Spirit. Somebody's read their Bible. You haven't heard about the Holy Spirit. And then they were baptized and anointed by the Holy Spirit, and they began speaking in tongues, an unknown prayer language known only to God, a gift from God. It's the kind of thing that we can't do in our own strength. The church struggled about why Jesus would have been baptized. I've been struggling this week. I don't know if I have an answer for you. Here's another struggle. Those verses we read about John being arrested. Here's an even bigger question than why Jesus needed to be baptized. Who baptized him anyway? He's in prison, remember? Well, no, that was a flashback. Doesn't say. The way Luke tells the story, yeah, my eyes were doing that too, Donna, this week. The more I thought about it, the more I prayed about it, the more I... Who's even doing the baptism? John's in prison, according to the layout of this story. That's why I think the lectionary didn't want us to read these verses. They didn't want us to struggle with this. It's okay to struggle, though, isn't it? Is that all right? You're like, well, better be. You've done it already. Read us those verses. I'm sorry. You're Watcoat, right? We're Watcoat. We can deal, right? We cling to the Holy Spirit, and when we get to the place where we can't do it anymore, when we get to that borderland between water and oil, it's okay. It's all right. That's right where we want to be, isn't it? Have you ever tried anything that was too much for you? We went to a Wesley gala last night, and we got to meet students, and they had, Joy was one of them, as a matter of fact, and they had these, they were standing by these placards. I hope I never have to do that. And the placards are sort of summing up their life. You know, that's one thing when you're 21 years old. It's another when you're 52. It's kind of like that Facebook catch-up with somebody I hadn't seen in 30 years. And then I knock out my life in a paragraph. And then there's really nothing else to say. Anyway, back to these kids. They were 21 years old. And they're standing by this placard, right? And the very bottom thing said, what do you plan to do with your life, right? And there it is, open before them. What do you plan to do with your life? And I loved how they had some goals that they listed. This one guy said, I'm going to go and join an accounting firm. I've got this job with an accounting firm. Nothing wrong with that. That's good stuff. But that wasn't where he wanted to end up. He said, I want to be an FBI agent. Takes 3 years even to qualify, even to go through the, you know, the whatever, the little fill-in forms thing. That's 3 years. You don't just fill in one form. There's all kinds of things involved. He told his employer that. His employer was so impressed. You know what he called it? He called it a stretch goal. Have you ever had one? That's your life. A stretch goal under the power of the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus get baptized? Well, what happens after? Let me ask you a better question. What happened before? What happened before the baptism of Jesus? What happened before Jesus got baptized? Anybody know? I don't. Do the Gospel Chroniclers talk about it at all? I mean, we got that one thing where we read where he goes to the temple and asks questions and his parents grab him by the ear and said, "You come home right now." And he sure did too, didn't he? And that's it. That's all we get. Other than the baby stories. And two of the Gospels don't even tell those. What happened before the baptism? It's as if Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John say, "Who cares?" But after? According to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he got 1 year. Before then, 30 years of who cares, just marking time, doing whatever it was he was doing. I don't know, maybe he was a carpenter. Maybe he was making chairs. Maybe he made the best chairs in the world. Hey, I make the best chairs in the world. And according to the Gospel Chroniclers, it's not worth even telling. How about your life? The baptism changed everything. Everything. Anointed by the Holy Spirit, today, you are my son. That's a quote, by the way. It's a quote from Psalm 2:7. They would read it to kings. Can I read it to you now? I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." I wonder if you could claim that for yourself. Those of us who have been baptized, and if you haven't been baptized, can we talk? I won't make us sing 17 verses of "Just As I Am." Can we talk, please? The Lord has business with you. The Lord has plans for you. And don't think that, well, it's a stretch goal, I could never get there. I'm here to tell you, they're bigger than being an FBI agent. Much, much bigger than being an FBI agent. But can you say that verse for yourself? Can you say, "You are my daughter," or "You are my son"? Can you just say it out loud right now and hear God saying it to you? Go ahead. "Today I have become your father." Without grace, nothing. But wait, there's more. Because you see, that quote also quotes Isaiah 42. We call it one of the first of the servant songs, the suffering servant songs. And I need to read all of this to you. It's from the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. You can turn to it if you got a Bible near, or you can just listen to me. "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all the springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand." Can you hear that from God? "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take your hand." Can you reach out your hand? Reach out your hand with me. "I will take your hand. Lord, I don't know if I can do this. I'm not sure I'm strong enough. Change the world you talk about. I'm just having trouble balancing my budget, cleaning the house." I have created. I have called you for more. I have called you in righteousness. I will take your hand. I will keep you, and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. The baptism changed everything. How about you? How about those of us who have been baptized? You've been baptized? Did it change everything? Wake up. Wake up. Remember, you have been called, you have been commissioned, you have been flooded not only with the water of life, but with the power of the Spirit, the oil of anointing that was reserved for kings and queens. You are royalty striding this earth. But you're like, wasn't there something about a fish, Bo? It's true. You can say no. And no one, not even God, will stop you. It's true. And God will understand. Many have come before you and have said, no. There was this rich young ruler. He said, hey, what have I got to do, huh? And Jesus said, well, you got to follow the Ten Commandments. He said, oh, yeah, I got all those. Jesus said, oh. He had a sense of humor, Jesus. He said, oh, okay. Well, then there's just one more thing if you got all those knocked out. Remember what he said? That wallet you're carrying? All those toys you got? Is that worth your life? Jesus asked him. He was a young man. He said, yeah, that is worth my life. And he walked away and Jesus loved him. You can say no. But I'm inviting you this morning to say yes. All heaven is waiting. All the earth is waiting. We waited for 30 years. 30 years of nothing in Jesus' life. You ever thought much about that? He goes to Nazareth the next week, practically the next story we hear. He reads the scroll. He goes, today, no more waiting. And they go, wait a minute. Aren't you Joseph's son? Wink, wink. Aren't you the carpenter's son? No more waiting, he says. You could say yes today. And yes, that probably means there's going to be trouble. And I'll tell you, if I could go back to that parking lot, knowing what I know now, knowing how things came out, I'd do it again and again and again. I don't want it any other way. Do you? We talked about several core values, and you can look on the back of your bulletin, and you can see them. I hope they're more than words, but you know the very first one? Do you see the very first one? You see what it says? We were telling stories about when we experienced God's presence in this place. That's where these words come from. They come from our stories. I didn't say, hey, let's try to figure out our core values. Actually, I did. I had this little test that we took. It was like, what do you think our core values were? And people filled them out. They looked nothing like these words. They looked like the kind of words that we thought churches are supposed to put on their core value statement. That's what they look like. These are the stories of how we met God. And the very first word is what? Just like you are, right? Total grace. But notice the second word. I'm going to love you like you are, and then guess what? Then we're going to reach for the stars. We're going to reach for that stretch goal. And you know where I think water and oil meet? Do you know where I think the intersection is? You see, it's one thing to celebrate these gifts from God in our lives. Oh, I want to be accepted. That's what I want to be. I want to be called to something higher, don't you? But do you want to accept someone else? That's oil. That's the power of the Spirit. I heard a story from a friend of mine named Ivan. He's worked for DuPont for 31 years now, and he's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was baptized. He was claimed by God. He has tasted the full and free grace of God through the power of Jesus Christ, forgiveness in His name, but He's also been anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when He told me the story and when He asked me to pray for him, He did not say, "Pray that I don't lose my job." Do you know what He said? He said, "A quarter of us are going to lose our jobs. One in four are going to lose our jobs. I've been there for 31 years, but I'm good," He said. "There are others in my shop who don't need to lose their jobs more than I don't need to lose my job." So He said, "Pray that I will be one of the ones who are terminated so someone else can stay." And you know what? You know how the Bible says, whatever you pray for in my name, you will receive. And on Monday, Ivan received the answer to his prayer. Little fish. That's what we're made for. Do you know that? Because you're here? You become the answer to someone else's prayer. Amen? Amen. Let's gather around this table now, set with bread and wine, water and oil, and celebrate the nourishment that only God can give us. We give you thanks, Creator God, Father Almighty, You who have claimed us as Your sons and daughters, anointed us in the power of Your Spirit, and created a world we have dominion over. We can, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. You have given us charge of this creation. God, it's too stunning to imagine. And we are surrounded by so many signs of Your presence in the beauty of creation, in the majesty of creation, in the power of creation. We join together with angels and archangels, Lord. We sing Your praises. Breathing in grace, we sang. Breathing out praise. And yet, in the midst of our song, "Holy, holy, holy, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna," they sang that on Palm Sunday, didn't they? We sing it with them because we're not quite sure what we're singing about. We don't quite understand what it means to be called as a little fish caught in Your net of love and grace. Teach us through Your Spirit. Remind us again about One who came through the waters of baptism and in the power of the Spirit to show us the way, to proclaim liberty to the captives, release to those who were imprisoned, to give sight to the blind. Those who were lame could now leap with joy, leaping and dancing and praising God. He ate with sinners, just like us, and showed them a kind of acceptance they had never known before, accepted just as they are. And then, like Zacchaeus, He called them to something more. He did not judge them. He gave them a taste of what life is really about. Not just scrapping for the scraps under the table with the dogs, with the puppies. Not just clamoring and making sure we get what's ours. But just receiving the rain of grace that never stops from Your heart. That's what He did. That's what He did, and we killed Him. We couldn't stand it. We couldn't stand that call. We wanted to go back to the biting and the scrapping. Yes, we did it. We do it now. We do it now when we forget. We do it now when we say, "No, none for me. No, I'll pass. No stretch goals for me. I'll take whatever it is that I can get in this world." Lord, He calls us still. He called us that night when He gathered us around His table. He gathers us now around the table and He says, "This is My body. I give it to you. Take, eat, and remember." When the supper was over, he took that cup reserved for the Messiah. That's who he was. No more waiting. And after giving thanks to you, he extended it to all of his disciples and he said, drink this, all of you. No one is left out. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this. Remember me. Not just in your mind, but in your body and your soul. Those trinkets all around you, they're not worth your life. And they're not worth the lives of others around you, whom I love. Oh yes, Christ has died. Oh yes, Christ is risen. And oh yes, Christ will come again. You are with us now. And we pray a blessing of your Holy Spirit on this house and on this people and on these saints and on this town and on this state and on our country and in our world, Lord. Rain down so that we can breathe in your grace and breathe out your praise, not just in song, but with everything we do, with everything we are. By the power of your Spirit, make us one with each other, one with you, and one in ministry to all the world. Redeemed. Called. Talk about a stretch goal. Stretch us. Call us. Remind us who we are. We have forgotten at this table. Help us remember we are your body. We are your hands. We are your feet. Wherever we go, you go. Whatever the Father is doing, that's what we're doing. We pledge our lives at this table. Having been baptized, we didn't even know what we were doing, most of us, all of us. Having been anointed by your Spirit, remind us not only who we are, but of who we are called to be. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I invite those who are going to be serving to come forward and join me here at the table. Those will be offering prayers of anointing and healing to come and join me. LaWanda, you'll be playing our soundtrack of grace and love. Come forward.